Our country has become had always been a target for low-income Europeans to travel to Gambia, mostly with the primary intention of sex tourism. Mm-hmm. How did it look like in Uganda?
We didn't have what you would call bumpsters.
Okay.
Now, they still exist, right? There's still man them out there who said, oh, I met the love of my life. She's from Sweden. She's 77 years old. Love, unity, and respect. Wagwan, my people.
Yes, sir.
The man them are back.
Come on.
Zin. Very, very, very. I want to say that I'm very proud of our commitment to being consistent.
We are, I'm telling y'all, man.
You know what I'm saying?
We're coming in hot.
Man, them are not joking this year. 2023, you said new year, new me.
Yes, sir.
You see me? It's mad, man. But nah, welcome back, Tribes people. I go by the name DJ Anzo here, straight from
DJ Anzo for those of you who don't know.
He's gassing it. Here with Young Money Millionaire Uncle E.
Come on.
In the place to be, you heard? Yes. Capitalize the E. Don't forget.
Don't forget.
But yeah, we are the Jola Mr. Madi podcast, or TJMTM. For those of you joining us for the first time, what we're about is we are two Africans just canoeing through this thing we call life, here to edutain you on anything African, so culture, sports, music, popular lifestyle, anything about that, being an African in the diaspora, right?
Factos.
I think that really encompasses what we are about.
I always like the fellow quote, if you're African, listen to us as Africans. For all you non-Africans, listen to us with your open eyes or something he said, ears,
the
I don't
great,
know.
The great fella.
Shout out to fella.
Shout out fella, man, for real. Yo, Femi was here. Did you go to, you went to the concert, right?
Femi Kuti?
Yeah.
Of course. Azul.
Yeah.
Come on, I wouldn't miss that.
That day, so
yeah, you didn't make it. That was a great show. Live band, the dancing, man.
Real
I felt
culture.
Like I was in the shrine, or it's just, I just, you know, that's like the closest, being both of us being fella fanatics.
Yeah.
Man, it's nostalgia of just, you know, that was the closest I got to a live
to
performance
it.
Of fella.
Yo, so, that gives me good.
Shout out to Femi
shout
Kuti,
out Femi
man.
Kuti. One of Clue's bombs for him, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for carrying forward the legacy of your father and you know?
You know, yeah. All the grandkids as well. They're doing their thing.
All his kids too.
Sean,
Sean? Sean?
I, you know, I will not name it.
Sean. I don't know.
But shout out to them.
Shout out all the mandem, you know?
Factos.
Where you been on, bro? How's it going?
Slicing and dicing, bro. New year. As I said, I'm really applying pressure because you know the project that is coming up, which we'll be announcing on the pod, you know? Man's is in
hush
the lab
right now.
You know, hush
mode. Man's working, you know.
I'm in the lab, you know. I'm in the lab, bro. So
cooking.
It's cooking. I'm trying to cook, man. So, and it's all growth, just seeking growth.
All I'm saying is those who don't want to go Galatasaray or go like Istanbul and that, you get me?
Come on.
Stay tapped in. If you want your hairline to look like Uncle E's, stay tapped in.
Look, I'm telling you, fam.
If you don't want to end up in Turkey, you need to listen. That's all I'm going to say.
That's an expensive payment, fam. It's an expensive invoice. No purchase orders in Turkey, my guy.
So, yeah, man, stay tapped in.
100%. But, yeah, excited to share soon. Things are progressing well. And what's going on in the DJ Anzo experience, fam?
It was mad, man. I thought we were slowing down, but 2023 said, no, sir.
No, sir.
So for that we say alhamdulillah, because it's been good, bro.
Okay.
It's been good.
No,
that's what I could say.
Well, like I said, you know, I don't want to sound like a proud dad. But I'm proud of you, my boy.
Nah,
keep it up.
You,
keep building the brand, and we're just super excited.
Yeah.
Please always let you know, Anzo is a, you need to also like you know, a lot of people want to know what you're playing, what events you have, your mixes. Yeah. So again, you know, please use, I think it would be nice for our podcast listeners as well to know what's going on the DJ Anzo side.
Yeah, for sure.
So please do share what, you know, and keep us updated.
Well, Steph, might need to start like a little, maybe bi-weekly or weekly cadence on for stuff like that. That's a good idea. If you don't follow the DJ page.
Come on.
I agree with that, man.
Hey, boy.
I agree with that. Yeah, man. I'm today, we're discussing something that's... Well, I'll say this. We're not approaching this conversation from a place of judgment.
Right? No.
We're approaching it from a place of realism. Because I think we share a similar sentiment where... we're not here to talk down on anyone.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? We're here to simply bring to light issues that are prevalent right now, right? Specifically, sex tourism in Africa, right? Now, we call it sex tourism because it literally is a thriving industry that has... it has connotations. I'm not going to say they're positive and negative, but it has connotations. Okay, and I think by the end of our discussion, our supporters and our listeners should be able to infer maybe an opinion or at least gain a richer understanding of what we're talking about.
Yeah. Right?
So let me read this statement for us. First, like I said, the purpose of this episode is to examine the impact of sex tourism in Africa. And according to a 2018 report by the World Health Organization, the African region has the second highest rate of HIV infection globally. And it is estimated that between 5 to 10% of the new infections in the region are linked to tourism. Right?
Wow.
So 5 to 10% in a place that's the second highest HIV rate.
Do the math.
Right, let's do the math here, right? Underprivileged communities are being sort of exploited, right? Mm-hmm. And in turn, we get things like this happening, right? So let's dissect that right there. Well, for one, I think let's provide people an idea of what sex tourism looks like, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Gambia.
Yeah, I mean... Man, like for me, sex tourism, especially now that I can recognize things much easier than when I was a child.
Mm.
But in Gambia, sex tourism is something I've been exposed to since when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding like the whole term of sex tourism, for those who don't know, especially here in the US, you know, stuff like sex tourism is typically associated with, for Americans, maybe going to, you know, South America or the Caribbean.
Yeah.
It's been popularized in social media here for that Americans, if you want to go for those type of activities, it's in the Caribbean.
Right.
But for you, those of you guys who don't know, in Africa, and where I'm from, in West Africa, the Gambia, for Europeans, typically low-income Europeans, as early as since when I was a boy, like I have always seen this, where our country had always been a target for low-income Europeans to travel to Gambia, mostly with the primary intention of sex tourism. And there is no disparity between men or women, like older European men and older European women, where their venture into Gambia was primarily for sex tourism. So before I even get started in explaining what my experience was with sex tourism in Gambia, you know, I'm a numbers guy. I just go facts with data. So anyway, for those who, you know, enjoy the data of certain things about Gambia, at least from where I'm from, you know, my homeland. So according to a study by the World Tourism Organization, the Gambia is one of the top destinations for sex tourism in Africa. You know, small country, Atlantic Ocean, river goes through, you know, we're a tourist country.
It's beautiful.
You know, exactly. A study that was conducted in 2015 by the University of Bristol found that around 80% of tourists visiting the Gambia for sexual purposes were from the UK. So with that all being said, in Gambia, Anzo, I just wanted to, before I even talk about like the effects to the community or what we've seen, growing up, I talked about I was exposed to it early. And the most common way in Gambia that we started seeing sex tourism before we even understood was termed by a group of men that we call bumpsters. So it's a, I know, right? It's such a bumpsters. So
for bumps.
Yes. So, you know, growing up, we always see them like, oh yeah, these bumpsters. And at one point, you know, our old president cracked down on them. But for those who don't know, so bumpsters is typically a term for a group of men that are usually hanging around the beach, you know, bars, restaurants, tourist areas. So picture a guy wearing like a, you know, like a Rasta, those Rasta colors, tank tops.
The dreads.
You know, doing push-ups, you know, doing push-ups at the beach, hanging around, and they're just busy trying to chat to tourists.
Yeah.
Trying to, for one, show their physicality, trying to show that they can show them around. And typically, these men, their whole purpose is to offer sexual services in exchange for money or for them hitting the jackpot.
And getting a ticket out.
Getting a visa out.
Yeah.
So they're known as bumpsters. Like you see them, they're always at the beach, they're hanging around.
Yeah.
And they have a certain profile. And funny enough, you know, you might hear that and think, ah, yeah, that's funny and stuff. But in Gambia, they're actually very successful. Because
as if they're living in Gambia?
Yes. Like, because again, as a country, we have a lot of white Europeans, middle age, typically low income, who are coming for that purpose. So now it's like as if they go to a job market and here they are at your disposal. Pick which one you want, a short one, a tall one, a buff one, a slim one, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And here are bumpsters. And to the bumpster side, again, poverty, you know, in a way, lack of opportunity in the country. So this is for him, either a short-term cash gain or
a ticket out of something.
A ticket out of something.
Yes.
And as a result of knowing that, a lot of times families or these people, even if they know about it, they don't say much about it because
you can't.
What can you do? Yeah. It's poverty. And take away the bumpsters, you also have what the term we used to call dirty Harrys. Again, low income, as Dave Chappelle would say, the poor whites coming from Europe, middle-aged men, and they're coming to Gambia as well for that same purpose. And a lot of the times, they're targeting underage women, a lot of girls like 15, 16, under 18, taking them out and then using them for you know, for sex, clearly.
Yeah.
But those are the two terms. So in Gambia, that
happened. You have to think about the effects, let's say, of that, right? Okay. Like you would say, Mandem can now provide for a family, okay? But what does it mean to his maybe wife that he has at home, right? Where he's coming home, bringing home not... He might not even know what he's bringing home, right? And putting her at risk or putting some of the other girls at risk. That, you understand what I'm saying, right? It's, I don't know that the infrastructure in Gambia.
There is no infrastructure. So
anywhere, right?
It's
can
not
support
set up.
A safe sort of like method.
It is detrimental to the Gambian society.
Right.
And again, it's hard to explain it to those people because of their condition, but it is detrimental to the Gambian society because, one, a lot of these people, they're coming in and they're bringing in a lot of like STDs. They're bringing in drugs and they're either giving it to underage women or even some of these guys. So it actually starts, you know, allowing drug use and the spread of, you know, sexual transmitted diseases across the community as a result of this sex tourism that's going on. And when you don't have the health infrastructure
for that
to cater to that, you know, it's debilitating.
Yeah. And I think, so let me offer you the perspective of Uganda, right? I too noticed that from a young age, right? But in Uganda, we didn't have...
How did it look like in Uganda?
We didn't have what you would call bumpsters.
Okay.
Now, they still exist, right? There's still man them out there who said, oh, I met the love of my life. She's from Sweden. She's 77 years old. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That existed. It wasn't as popular. The more popular one was young women being approached by middle-aged or older white men. Which in Uganda, there's actually like very famous bars where you can, where someone who lives there will tell you, oh yeah, this bar, that's where like these men come to find these women.
Wow. Right?
So the stat that we had pulled was in Uganda, a 2019 survey found that, let me turn this.
Tell us the facts.
In Uganda, a 2019 survey found that over 30% of female sex workers in the country's capital, Kampala, reported being approached by foreign clients for sexual services, right? So over 30% of female sex workers, right? Let's dissect that. Sex work, right? Some people will say that's the oldest profession in the world. Other people despise it, right? Other people say, how can you sell yourself like that? There's all sorts of perspectives, right? Personally, and I think probably you would agree, I think as long as you're being safe and you're not being harmed, and this is something you want to do, go for it, right? If you have the infrastructure set up to support you doing that, right? And you are going to be not only safe, but you're going to have resources that can help you. That's your life. Do what you want to do, right? The problem with back home is, dude, we don't even have normal things set up to protect such sex workers.
It's just exploitation.
Right? It's exploitation at that point. So
abuse.
I go to the bar, right? I see a white man pull up. He driving probably a Harrier, you know, one of them regular joints.
Yep.
He jump out the car. He got four young women with them, you know. And you start asking yourself, how old is she? How old is she? Right? He goes, now, because of exchange rate parity, he's going to go buy a bottle or two in the club, right? Enough to get them drunk. The rest of the night, it goes how he wants it to, right?
Pretty much.
So at that point, for me, it becomes an issue of, wait a minute. Are these girls voluntarily being put in those situations, or are they being exploited to be put in those situations, right? And the fact that it's like a whole industry now, without there being any sort of infrastructure to protect, which is the responsibility of any sovereign state, is to protect their citizens, right?
In an ideal world.
In an ideal world. But how are we allowing this to happen where...
Accountability, Anzo.
Right. And that is a whole nother subject with African politicians. But how is it that this is continuing to boom like that, right? And again, we're bringing just awareness to it. And
this is, I said...
Because... Shorty down the block might say, okay, well, I need this to get by, or this is my ticket out. And she finds the love that she likes in Uganda and blah, blah, blah. Now shit starts spreading. And now we're back on the map as the second highest HIV infection rates, right? Which now our hospitals, do we have even the capacity,
you know what I'm saying,
to support hundreds of people coming in a day that now may have an STD that is uncurable, and oh wait, the hospital just lost power because there's load shedding. Because you understand what I'm saying? The whole idea of it just starts to really puzzle me, because I'm like, yo, we don't have the facilities.
You ain't got the facilities.
You get me, big man.
Like, bro, it's the same thing for us.
Yeah.
We don't have the facilities. We don't have the awareness. Mm. We don't have the education. We don't have the policies in place to permit sex work legally.
Mm.
And these tourists are aware of that.
Mm.
They're only coming because they know that such structures, regulation does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, from what we're seeing, it's only exploitation,
mm-hmm.
abuse to a certain degree,
mm-hmm.
right? And again, negative, and as I mentioned, debilitating effects to our healthcare systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even
and to our health
and our health. Care, and I'm not even talking about the society, generational, like kids growing up. Like, I'm not even talking about all of that stuff.
Mm.
But if we're just looking at it, this is what it's causing.
Mm.
And continually, people, I would say, at least in Gambia, I don't know how it's in Uganda, turn the blind eye, or, you know, basically,
mm.
because they see this as the disparity, as in these people are bringing in money,
mm.
influx to the economy. They're never taking anyone back to Europe with them. Maybe they'll promise you, give you false hopes. But for the sake of that, so you would see largely hotels, restaurants are all in corporation, like you mentioned, a bar. They're turning the blind eye because all they see is money, money, money.
Mm.
These guys have money because of that disparity, right? And no one, because of there's no accountability, saying, hold up. Besides that, the money they're bringing, they're giving, blah, blah, blah. Do you understand the effects to who they're dealing with?
Mm.
Bombstars, I could care less. Good for them. They can do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? These are grown men. They know what they're doing. That's their game. But for me, where I have a problem is when it's those underaged, young girls, boys,
mm-hmm.
who don't know any better, that one, their family's turning a blind eye because, oh, a white man has come in, he's giving them money, we're putting food on the table and mm-hmm. stuff, so keep doing what you're doing. Two, government, hotels, restaurants, service industry, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. These guys are spending. So no one, like, there's no protection.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't, you know what I'm saying? If anyone from wherever country you're from, like for me in Gambia, like I see it and I'm just like, damn.
It, like, breaks your heart.
Sad. It breaks your heart. Like, it
breaks your heart.
But anyway, like I said, that's my opinion on it.
I think that sex work in the West, right? So in America, in Europe, where it's been sort of industrialized, right? Protects the worker, right? So you get a girl doing OnlyFans, you might get a crazy here and there, but, like, generally speaking, she can go about her life peacefully, right? Parts of Europe, like Amsterdam, where in the red light district, right, where there's measures set up to at least set up to protect the sex workers.
Human trafficking, all of those will happen everywhere.
It'll happen.
Unfortunately, that's the risk that comes with it.
That's the risk that comes with the
and business. Hence why it's typically illegal, I would say, and rightfully so, because it's an opportunity for human trafficking.
Exactly. We don't have none of that set up, right? Now, the enforcement is a different topic, right? Other places need to do a better job of enforcing it, but we don't even have stuff set up, bro. Like, it's disheartening, right? It's disheartening because you start to understand all the importance of just, you have a perspective shift, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I can see why maybe my dad might have said something, or my mom might have said something.
Don't go to the beach around this time.
You know,
don't say hi to the white
don't
people.
Stay here,
blah,
don't,
blah, blah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
this was our reality growing up that we had to account for.
Which is a very real reality.
Especially,
right?
Like, you know, like our sisters. Like,
right.
If you see why parents were strict to not go out, go to certain places, it's because we had these things that we had to deal with in our society.
For sure. And I completely understand the perspective of, like, it's also the duty of the man to not do those things, right? 100%. And as men, we need to continue to raise our young men, right, to know the difference between wrong and right, and how to respect women. But there's also just this unfortunate like reality that we live in that continues to just play into like this narrative, right? And this, I would say, unfortunate like reality, right?
It is. And we shouldn't encourage it.
At all.
And I know we're not the government.
No, we're not.
We're not the police. We're not human rights activists. We're not the NGO. But what we're doing is, I think, is spreading awareness to in our countries, in Africa. Sex tourism is not that trip to DR that guys do. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is like, you have to see it. And I think until maybe drastic changes, which I don't think is happening anything soon, we have to absolutely condemn it and spread as much awareness to anyone. If you have those European friends or anyone trying to go, make them aware of, if you see certain types of events, you see an old white man with a young looking African girl or vice versa, to identify what that is. Do not think, oh, that is weird. No, it's no cougar business. Like, what you're seeing is exploitation and all of the negative effects to our society that's happening. So as a responsibility, it's important to identify and spread awareness to all our friends, all our non-Africans, that if you do go to our countries and you see those certain things, you know, just know what that means.
Just know what it means, and try to play your part.
And if you have any way you can play the part, you know, if you have any resource, any way to, I'm not saying try and play hero here, you know, save a girl and all of these things, but condemn it and don't dismiss it.
Don't dismiss it. Big on that.
That you know, that's all I could say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, and it's so much more robust than I think what
it's so
it's also like you have to take time to sort of like dissect it properly, right?
Bro, 100% from a pride perspective. Yeah. Like, I don't want my country to be a place for old Europeans to come in and exploit our youth. And, you know, like, I don't want that.
Not at all.
You're from your country, you know, or where you're from, would you want your town to be known as the place where, you know, these dirty Harrys and dirty Sarahs come and exploit your, you know, young women in your community or boys? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want that. So
you need to protect the youth.
Yes, 100%. So we'll continue to spread this awareness. We like, for me, like all Gambians, you know, we know about this. We know about bumpsters. We joked about it and all, but it's no joking matter, bro. Like if you know the effects, especially from a healthcare standpoint, right, and just for my youth, drugs, like, bro, it's a serious matter.
It's a serious matter. Very.
It's not a joke.
Matter. And people like to say that you sort of like stray right as you get older. I don't think it's straying right. I think it's just becoming more solidified in what is right and what's wrong. And we can get into the perspective, but
100%.
You know, it's just getting to what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, 100%. Right? And like, Andrew, like, to someone, like, what would you just recommend to, you know, especially if someone is going to Africa and maybe for the first time and, you know, wants to have more awareness on identifying the sex tourism, besides the examples we said, like, what would you recommend in terms of how they deal with it?
You know me, I'm going to always advocate for YouTube University.
Right? 100%.
There's a lot of documentaries and information out there that you can read on.
Yes.
with very concrete. I think BBC has a piece on it as well.
BBC does.
Al Jazeera probably.
Al Jazeera for sure.
Renowned news sources.
Yes, please.
They will have information.
Tap into the UN. Tap into, you know, like, UNDP, just do a Google search.
Yeah. Man, we have too much information.
Just Google search, because it might come to you. You might be approached.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're saying it's not only white people, clearly. We're just, you know, we're using the term that is most common to what we see. But even as another black person going, it might happen to you. Mm-hmm. And like I said, especially as the man, don't look at it like, no. Like, bro, like, this is real exploitation that's going on. Like, this is not you trying to have a good time.
A decent.
Like, this is not it, bro. Like, seriously. Mm. So that's how I feel. Yes, you know, don't do it in our countries, please. I know it's wrong to say, but either way, like,
I hear you.
It's a whole umbrella of human trafficking, you know, and all of that. It comes with it where we spread, we're sharing our perspectives of what's going on in our countries.
Mm.
And we really do hope that, you know, people can become more responsible.
Yeah.
And there must be accountability as well.
Yeah. Nah, that was a good conversation on that one. Did you ask GPT today for...
No, GPT is off today. No proverbs for GPT. Maybe next episode I might see what GPT has for the African man. What do you have, though? I heard we have a Anzo shout-out segment.
I mean, what I'm trying to do is to shout-out any black business artists, entrepreneurs.
It is Black History Month, yes.
Black History Month. For me, honestly... One of the hardest working men I've ever met right now is the man, none other than DJ Nyram.
Clues bombs for Nyrams, bro.
Dropped multiple bombs for this man. It's funny because like he's a deflector. He doesn't like compliments. He likes to deflect them, right? But me, I'm here to tell y'all, there's no man that's working harder than that guy right now.
Wow.
I won't get too into detail. But we see the work, right? He's been consistent at his craft. It's paid dividends. It's going to pay even more dividends. And for someone who serves as a mentor to me, right? And a dear friend, a very dear friend. Man, shout out to DJ Nyram.
Shout out to Nyram, man.
If you don't know who he is, you are asleep.
Yeah.
And you need to wake up.
Come on,
you
fam.
Get me.
Come on, fam.
That man is on the path to some very great things. And yeah,
shout out to DJ Nyram. Much love to DJ Nyram. You know, his family. He's if you want to even hear about his story, you can go to I think season 3. Anyway, we had him on our podcast. He shared about his story. What an amazing human being. Much love and respect to you, Nyram.
And big up.
You know, keep pushing P.
Keep pushing P, my brother.
Yeah, they say Gunna out of jail. He's still bumping Gunna, you know?
Hey, that's gonna get you in trouble, man. But yeah, I mean, he knows how much I appreciate him.
Shout out to Nyram.
Shout out DJ Nyram, man. Another one of Clues Bombs.
Much love.
But yeah, man, this has been episode 2. Again, the man them are staying consistent, slicing and dicing.
Come on.
Styling, profiling, and keeping it P.
Yes, sir.
Again, man, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, share.
Don't be shy. We don't
repost.
Hurt.
Repost.
We don't bite.
You know what I'm saying? DM, all of that. We love it. We love the engagement. You know, and keep styling on them. Feel me?
We'll be back for episode 3.
Episode 3 coming soon. Until then. Peace.
Yes, sir.